Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, September 3rd, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hey, we have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon for the first segment of the program from the Apothecary Herbs. She'll be joining us here in just a few moments, and then we're going to be talking. We got a question coming in. I had several questions today about taxes on gold and silver, so we'll be talking about that after Wendy Wilson on the first segment. First, let's go ahead and see what gold did today. Gold, I had a little bit of a positive sign today, up 420 at the moment at 1271. We have silver up 5 cents today at 1930. Platinum was up 6 at 1417. Palladium was down 7 at $878. USDX today is still below 83, down 11 at 82.86. Crude oil came back up 2.40, $2.40 at 95.28. And the paper markets today, really not a lot of action there. We have the Dow up 10 points at 17,078. The NASDAQ down 25 at 45.72. The S&P is still above that 2000 level. It was down 1.55. And the 10-year yield, 2.41% on the day. So everybody's waiting for tomorrow. Well, you're going to see a lot of action probably going on in the markets tomorrow and on Friday with the economic reports coming out of Europe, the Eurozone, and, of course, our employment numbers coming out on Friday. So big numbers everyone is waiting for. However, it doesn't change anything. The fundamentals for gold and silver are still there, regardless of the tax, and that's what you have to focus on. You'll hear all kinds of misinformation and guesses and opinions and so forth on the history or the future of gold and silver, but if you stick to the fundamentals, you can't go wrong. That's the only reality we have anymore, are the fundamentals. And we can make guesses out. We can create sensationalism. We can do all kinds of things. We can create all kinds of sexy little stories to go along with the various investments and why you need to buy them and have them and own them. But stick to the fundamentals, and that is usually the truth. So, truth and reality coming to a town near us.
Well, it was bound to happen sooner or later. Can't live in the happiest kingdom of them all forever. You know, you got to go home and have actually have a decent meal, something besides powdered powdered sugar on the waffles and
I suspect
candy cotton.
Do we have Wendy with us yet?
Hello, I'm here.
Here. It's great to have you here today, Wendy.
Yes, good to be with you and talk with you. I haven't talked with you since before your vacation. How was the vacation?
A vacation is a vacation. It's always good to get back.
Yeah, and then it's good to leave again, too. Yeah. The lesson here is invest in aircraft or whatever, because people are either flying home or they're leaving home, but they're not necessarily staying home except under duress.
What do you have for us today, Wendy?
Well, I wanted to talk about some venomous bites. We've had some people in the state of North Carolina be in the news regarding some of these spider bites, and a lot of people don't think about spiders unless it's Halloween or unless they're crawling through an attic or a basement and they see lots of spider webs, so they start to think about that. And some of these spiders that we have, are they have a lot of venom. And of course, you know, I do want to caution people, use common sense, you know, seek medical attention when necessary. But I also want to cover the option that, what if you can't get to emergency room or to medical care? What can you do? What did the ancient people do when there wasn't a, you know, an emergency room and anti-venom around? So let's cover some of that in case people are hiking and they can't get to care to have it treated. What can they do about it? So basically our spiders, we have like 170,000 species of spiders in the world, Melanie and Al, and of that, 35,000 we really should stay away from. And out of that number, there's like a handful of very dangerous spiders, and 27 spiders actually can kill with one bite. So we want to use common sense, but we don't want to provoke a spider because we just want to make sure that we give them ample space. Now, in North America, there's like 3,000 spiders, species of spiders, and two of them, I know, Al, you're very familiar with, everybody's heard about, the brown recluse and the black widow spiders. These are the most predominant dangerous spiders that we have in North America. And most of these spider bites will contribute to some conditions that they'll produce lesions on the skin and can could require some urgent care because of infection. So, hey, Al, have you ever run into a brown recluse?
I don't know for sure, but I had a spider bite. I had something bit me at one point where my arm swelled up, my forearm, it swelled up where it was just like a football.
Wow. You
understand? And the skin was so tight, red. It was surprising for what was apparently just a little bite. I don't know what got me, but I don't think it was just a wasp. I think it was a spider, but
Did it resolve itself?
No, I wound up getting medical attention for it. I don't remember what it was. Some sort of perhaps an antihistamine. I don't remember what they gave me.
This was... Yeah. Well, they don't really have that much anti-spider venom, so we're going to cover that in just a minute. But let's cover the brown recluse because they're real prevalent. They like to hide in wood piles and basements and attics. And it's a spider that's really nationwide for North America from the Atlantic to the Pacific, but it does prefer warmer climate regions of the southern part of the country. So this spider is usually a dark brown. It has this violin shape on the back with the what we call the neck of the violin pointing toward its rear. So now most spiders have 8 eyes, but the brown recluse only has 6. It has a pair of eyes in front and then 2 pairs on either side. So what makes this spider a health hazard is the venom. And now it will kill the tissue causing severe necrosis of the tissue at the bite site, and then it spreads out from there, causing significant cutaneous injury. So the spider can actually be deadly to some humans, especially the young and old, so we have to be careful. So people that are seeking medical treatment, they really will get either antibiotics or steroids or antihistamines. There may be some debridement of the bite site, you know, cutting away dead tissue, which can lead to some disfigurement. And I want to mention that sometimes, you know, there's a Donna Seeger, she's the Tennessee Poison Control Center. She says that sometimes it's not necessary to seek medical attention for some of these spider bites, and you can go and have medical attention. And she says sometimes it makes the problem worse. And in the case of the brown recluse, I would agree, because they don't have a venom, an antivenom for it, and all they know to do is cut away at the bite site, and you can have a crater where your leg used to be, your muscle or something. So I want people to do their homework before they go running off. Now, the black widow we're familiar with, there's 32 varieties living just about everywhere in the world, from Africa to Mexico, New Zealand. So we've got a lot of black widows. And they can be difficult to identify because their features will differ a little bit from region to region. Now, the female spider is supposed to be shiny black with this yellowish, orange, reddish hourglass mark on the underside of the abdomen, but sometimes it's just a red dot that they have on their belly. So the black widow likes to be sheltered. You can find it in wood piles, in rubble, under stones and hollow stumps, sheds and garages. So if you have an undisturbed or cluttered area, it likes to hang out there. So your crawl spaces, attics, and basements and garages, be real careful if you're out there kind of, you know, cleaning things up. Now, a lot of people talk about how painful a black widow spider is. I have not been bitten by one, so I can't say how painful it is. But a small amount of venom from this spider, it's enough neurotoxin poison that it would be equivalent to 15 times more poisonous than a prairie rattlesnake, okay? So it will attack the central nervous system, and you could develop respiratory arrest. So black widow spiders, very dangerous. That you could be, you could get a headache or a nausea and some vomiting and abdominal pain, even fever from a symptom of a black widow bite. Now, people with cardiovascular disease, really at a great risk. They need to be hospitalized. The risk of death is less than 1% with effective treatments for the black widow because there is an anti-venom for it. And it was developed in 1956. Have you ever run into a black widow, Al?
I've seen them. Yeah. Never been bitten by one, but I've seen them. It's not all that unusual.
Right. Yeah, they are prevalent. Usually, though, sometimes, you know, people that get bit by the black widow say they didn't have pain and they really didn't develop symptoms for 1 or 2 days afterward. And that's also true for the brown recluse. So you'll know it's a brown recluse, though, because where the spider bit you, where the fang marks went in, it'll be very white. The tissue will be white. And then there'll be this, like, red ring that kind of spreads out around it, sort of like a bullseye. So it's very distinctive. So you know that that's most likely a brown recluse that bits you. Now, if a child gets bit, younger than 12, the brown recluse spider what they tend to do is test their urine to check for blood in the urine, because what this bite, this venom does is it breaks down red blood cells and causes cell structure damage. And so usually that debris winds up in the urine. So you didn't see the spider, and kids sometimes don't know what bit them, they can at least do that. There are some other signs that you may have been bitten by a venomous creature of sorts, a spider. If the bite itches a lot, if it's red, inflamed, and hot to the touch. Now, was your situation, Al, where your arm, was it hot to the touch?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. This was 12 years ago, and trying to remember. And after I think about it, yeah, I think it was warm, but it was red. And I just remember my forearm swell up like a football, and just, I mean, it was just tight. The skin was just tight on the whole thing, and there was... It turned into a ball of pus at the point, and it was something extraordinary to remove that. I hadn't even remembered it until I started thinking about it, but it was no picnic, and it was not over in a day or two. I think I had the problem, I'll bet you, for a week, even with medical care. I'll bet it was a week before it was finally resolved in a way where things started to heal again.
Look like normal, huh? Well, you know, you can also see fang pits sometimes. They're visible when a spider bites you. You may develop a fever. The bite site can develop one or more blisters, and it could even turn a bluish color, the site where you were bitten. And in some instances, the bite site will, you know, just kind of cave in like a crater, and you can see your tissue kind of just sink in there. You can also develop vision problems, difficulty breathing, and loss of motor control. So these are all instances of a venomous bite. And of course, if you go to the hospital, which, you know, a lot of people do, I understand, you got little kids, you want to take them for medical care. Obviously, the elderly, especially if your heart condition, you have one of those, you definitely want to seek an emergency room. But, you know, let's say maybe you're out in the woods or you just can't get to medical treatment. So there are some other options. And I just want to mention a woman in Arizona, she got bitten by a scorpion and she called poison control and they told her to go to the hospital. They'll have anti-venom, which is called Anascrop for a scorpion bite. And she was there 3 hours. She got the anti-venom shot and she was fine, but her bill was $83,000.
$83,000.
Absolutely. And the thing is that particular venom is not that expensive, or that antivenom is not expensive. It's like it costs the hospital about $100. So you got to do your
homework. What's the justification?
And you have to, yeah, like rabies vaccine. And this, you know, I had a run in with that when my youngest boy was 10 and played with a neighbor's cat and it died of rabies, went through this whole thing. One hospital charged $800 for the vaccines and the other hospital charged $5,000, same treatment. So you really have to, you know, call around, I guess, if you have time before you go. Now, last year, right here in North Carolina, a man up the road from us here in a town called Mooresville, Eric Ferguson, he was bitten by a copperhead. He saw the snake, went to his local hospital. He was there about 18 hours, and his bill was $81,000. Yep.
That's just absurd.
It is. It's scary. It's scary. You know, you got little ones or you got your grandparents that, you know, maybe they're outside, you know, moving wood, you know, build a fire and they get bit, you know, and you think about these big bills, you know, they would just about sink an average household. So let's,
you know, the Hippocratic oath is doctor, do your patient no harm.
No harm. Yeah.
We would have to suppose maybe that includes no financial harm as well as no medical harm. In other words, don't impoverish the poor SOB. He's got enough trouble as it is, but go ahead.
Well, you know, the Native American Indians had a specific way of dealing with these kinds of things, whether it was rattlesnake bite, scorpions, spiders, wasps, you name it. Anything venomous, they dealt with it. We can kind of learn from this experience. What they did is they neutralized the venom. And I'm not talking about, you know, cutting the bite open and sucking out the venom. That's not usually what they did. They would make a poultice of herbs, and they would specifically put plantain in there. And a lot of these, you know, warriors that went about hunting, they would have these on them in a little pouch just in case. And so this stuff would, you put it on, you mix it with water, and you put it on, it's like a paste, almost like a mud pie. And it just draws all the toxins back out, okay? And that's step one. The other step that I like to do in addition to doing that is I like to use a blood cleanser, which neutralizes any venom that gets into the blood system and likes to travel around and hurt other organs. So, and then if you had a heart condition, you definitely want to make sure you help out the cardio system. So if the folks are interested to have things as a backup, or if they like to go out and camp and they just can't get to an emergency room, we do have some options. We do have a heart attack pack. It's a 1-pound pack that can just loop through their belt. And we also have a snake bite kit, same thing. And you can wear it with you, and you have everything you need right there. So they're available on our website at thepowerherbs.com, or they can call us toll-free at 866-229-3663. And by the way, the snake bite kits work for pets, too, if your dogs get bit by snakes and stuff.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. We appreciate the information. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday. Melody and I will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're running a special, a Mint State 63 $20 St. Gaudens. We're going to continue the special from yesterday, but we're going to add a Mint State 63 $20 gold piece today at $1,520. I was running some numbers today, Alfred, and I saw where the price difference between a 1 ounce gold bullion coin, whether it be a gold eagle or gold buffalo, if you graduate all the way up to a Mint State 63 $20 gold piece, the difference is only $183.
Yeah.
And it's like, why?
It's a very difficult bargain to pass up.
Absolutely.
It's the difference between buying a new Cadillac and a used Volkswagen, practically, and with only a tiny difference in the price of the two vehicles. It's really a great deal.
I mean, these are incredible prices, and we're going to be talking about the more and more predictions about corrections in the markets, and of course they're talking about it's just normal. But this is a terrific price, $1,520, Mint State 63, St. Gaudens, $1,520. That does include your shipping costs. And we have, in fact, I ordered a bunch of them today, so we have a good supply of them. Your funds get in, we can get you shipped immediately on clearance of funds. So give us a call, 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Al, I get all excited when I see specials like this because they're really great prices. And you're absolutely right. And it's like you're getting 2 for 1.
Exactly. And you have an opportunity to buy both gold, just in terms of how much the weight of the gold that's in the coin.
Melt.
Plus, you're getting a collectible on top of that. And an MS63, that's a good quality collectible for just $183 above and beyond the price of the gold, the raw price of gold. Just, it's an almost unbeatable opportunity for people that are investing in gold. You know, you're almost crazy not to take advantage of it. It's special.
And on Friday, we're going to have David Krieger on from my supplier, one of my suppliers, and we're going to talk about $20 gold pieces. There's been such a big misrepresentation and on the $20 pre-1933 coin that is certified, and we're going to be talking about that and try to clear up some of this silliness that is being produced by some of these newsletter writers and so forth. So he'll be on Friday. And I also wanted to thank Wendy for being on the program, because people do enjoy having Wendy on the program. And you can go to her website, and it will give her information as far as her radio programs, because she does do individual programs. And again, her website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. I always say the thepowerherbs.com.
That's all right. I say the
tomato, tomato.
That's exactly right.
Today, the Federal Reserve Al came out today, and their survey says that the U.S. economy strengthened in all regions of the country, both in July and August. Areas that did well, consumer spending, to auto sales, tourism, and of course they released this information today. This is their beige report. All 12 of the Fed's regions reported growth, 6, the New York, Cleveland, Chicago, Minneapolis, Dallas, and San Francisco, they characterized their growth as moderate. Some of the other regions reported somewhat slower expansion, 4 even described growth as modest, and 2 noted signs of improvement. And, of course, why is this all important? Well, this is known as the Beige Book, and the Feds will meet September 16th and 17th, and, of course, they will come out with their typical spiel as far as the economy.
It was a dark and rainy night.
It was a dark, rainy night.
Yeah, that's how they like to start their
I know.
Because it's fiction, so.
You know, when I'm reading this, I'm talking about this. I read this earlier today, and we read about the Beige Report, and everybody holds their breath for all these silly reports. And they're not silly. I mean, if they were real reports with real numbers, they're very important. But in today's world, where they're so misguided on these reports and lies and manipulations on anything that is done, they're not credible at all. So, you know, when you talk about the Beige Book and all the importance on the Federal Reserve and what she's going to say and what their conclusions are going to come to as far as raising rates, and they're not going to raise rates, but that's what everybody waits for. It's amazing. Hold your breath.
They're going to have to raise rates sooner or later, though. I mean, eventually reality will intrude.
Yes.
Because if they don't, they're driving capital out of this country.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing. You know, the deal, if you're going to borrow money, in theory, someone has to be willing to lend it to you. And why are they going to lend it to you? Just because they think you're a great guy or girl or whatever, and they say, well, all right, we'll just lend you at the hand. Don't worry about it. Just take it and spend it and get it back to me when you get a chance. That's not the real world. They look at you and they say, is this person likely to be able to repay the debt? And not just repay it, but am I going to make a profit off the deal? They understand anybody who borrows money, there's always a chance they're going to die, they're going to do something stupid, something's going to happen, and they can't repay the loan. And they have to factor that in. There is a percentage of people who simply, for reasons beyond their control, they can't pay the loan. That's always there, and they have to factor that in, and they say, okay, I'll lend you $1,000, but I'm going to charge you an extra $2 just in case for some reason you can't pay the loan, plus I have to charge you enough to beat inflation, and then plus I actually need some profit for myself because this is what I do for a living. I lend money. Well,
if they set interest rates so low that lenders can't make any money, what do you think the lenders are going to do? They're going to take their money. They're either going to sit on it and they won't lend it because they know they're going to lose money if they do. Some people are going to die. Some people will fail to pay the note. The inflation will kill them perhaps. Or they're going to find another place to lend their money. This is just human nature. It's the most natural thing in the world. And most people don't think about that because most people aren't lenders. They're not creditors. They don't have money to lend, per se. They're more interested in borrowing than they think of it. But you got to look at the other guy's position and say, hey, he wants to make a buck, you know, off the deal. Why not? He's entitled to do that. They say the interest rates are so low that he can't make a buck. What's he going to do? He will take his bucks to someplace in Africa or South America or Europe or Asia where he can make a return on investment that's positive. And when he does, that means there's no money for you to borrow, even though the interest rate, the Federal Reserve says, look, we've knocked the interest rate down to 1%. Yay, this will make it easier to borrow money. Yeah, except there won't be any money left to borrow. People who have it are going someplace where they can get 10% on their money. They're not going to stand around for 1%. Right? They're going to want 10%. If they can get it, it's a reasonable risk. They'll take it. Which means that as long as the Federal Reserve is holding interest rates as low as they are, they are driving capital out of this country. And capital will not return en masse until the interest rates start going up again. People can say, okay, I get a reasonable return on my dollar, on the money I'm lending. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where if we can't borrow, they say the interest rates are low, but if there's effectively less money available for the economy to borrow, how does that stimulate the economy? It's arguable that unusually low and irrationally low interest rates actually tend to slow the economy because people can't borrow to go out and spend on things that are perhaps necessary, perhaps frivolous, and they can't spend on new businesses, not to the same extent they would otherwise. No.
Well, I think low rates help in the beginning, temporarily. I mean, we saw the boom, but then you're right. They don't do anything anymore. And you start raising the rates, and then we have a country that's already bankrupt that they can't pay. So, again, they're between the rock and the hard place. And, of course, we all know where this is going. There isn't anything they can do, and this is what is going to add to the, you know, the structural collapse. And
it's called the Keynesian trap.
Mm-hmm.
And the Keynesian theory is that you can control the economy. You can speed it up, slow it down by controlling the supply of money and by controlling interest rates. And to some extent, you can within certain ranges. But there is a point where you drop the interest rate down so low that you can't raise it without hurting the economy, and you can't go any lower because the next stop is zero. You have to have some interest rate, as no matter how low it may be, and you can't raise it because it'll damage the economy. And now they're trapped, and that's where
they're
we are right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're caught. What are they going to do? They can't raise money because at least raise the interest rate. If they do initially, it's going to cause the economy to falter. I think long term it'll do better, but initially it'll put us down. They'll catch all sorts of political heat on it. They'll say, "Oh my gosh, where did we go wrong?"
Sure, absolutely. Higher rates would help our economy. Absolutely.
They would initially.
You're right. Yeah,
initially, there'd be perhaps a little bit of a downward bounce. But truth of the matter is the economy would do better. If people could borrow more money, they'd spend more money. All right? And to, you know, say, oh, they could borrow it at 0% interest or 1% interest. Well, that's great, except there's no money to be borrowed because it's gone to South America, Africa, Europe, wherever.
Well, not only that, they'd be putting more money in the banks. They'd be getting a little bit better return, and they'd feel more confidence. And of course, it's that confidence that keeps this type of a system going. So. So agreed. And particularly since we have an environment where, you know, we have, you know, retirement, the baby boomers. We talk about, you know, one of their fears is running out of money. You had something on, I saw, I don't know if you talked about it, but what people used to fear.
Yeah, there's an article here from an outfit called Wealthy Retirement, and their headline is The Greatest Fear. And they report that the greatest fear in our culture used to be public speaking.
Right?
Well, they're afraid you start speaking in public, and next thing you know, they'll make a radio personality out of you. You'll have to do radio programs. That's what people are afraid of. But greatest fear in our culture used to be public speaking, followed by fear of death. But a new one has taken over the top spot for those over 55. The fear of running out of money in retirement. And as for the majority of our population, this is a very real fear. Most have nothing saved. People are afraid. Right? What am I going to do in my retirement? I don't have any savings. I don't mean that people, this doesn't apply to people that are 20 years old and 30 years old and even 40 years old, but over 55, people are saying, oh my gosh, I haven't put anything away for savings. And I've got to save enough to try to get me through, you know, my retirement years. And how are they going to do that, Melody? If they haven't saved anything up until age 55, you're going to have to look for an investment where you can get the maximum return on your dollars. And it won't be easy. If you haven't saved anything and you're approaching retirement, you are in a dangerous position. But if you were going to put your money into something where you were as confident as you can be that you'll still have at least that much money, you're not going to lose over the course of the next few years, and you might even see it increase in value dramatically, where are you going to go? Who really believes that description applies to stocks or to bonds or to anything paper? There is a chance and even a high probability that the price of gold is going to go dramatically higher over the course of the next several years. Right? I mean, people routinely talk about $3,000 gold, $5,000 gold, $10,000, $25,000 gold. People who may know what they're talking about talk about those numbers. I don't know where it's going to go, and no one else does either.
We know it's going higher.
But those are possibilities. Those are realistic possibilities. And the implication is, if for every $1,000 you save today, if you save it in the form of gold, there's a high probability that it's going to be worth $3,000, $5,000 by the time you retire. I don't think you can realistically expect that out of stocks in general or bonds. There may be specific stocks that get lucky and they make a fortune on specific stocks, but as a generic class of investment, that isn't going to happen. You're not going to see the Dow Jones go from 17,000 to 34,000. I don't expect to live long enough to see that happen. And if it does, it could only happen in the context of hyperinflation. That would be a doubling. But we could see a doubling in gold is no big deal. Take it up to $2,600 an ounce. We've already been to $1,900. Take it up to $2,600 an ounce. There's nothing fantastic about the price of gold doubling and in a relatively short period of time. Tripling? Not impossible, you know. So the point I'm trying to get across is that if you are in that dangerous position where you are approaching retirement and you haven't saved anything yet, then you're going to want to consider, what are you going to do about that situation? How much savings do you think you need, and where are you going to get more bang for your buck than gold? Not a guarantee. No one can predict the future. Not giving you prophecy. But as a matter of probability, you and I can expect to see the price of gold triple over the course of the next several years. That's not unreasonable to me. That translates into, what, $3,900 an ounce? That's not unreasonable. That's not out of the question. In almost anything else you do, what can you expect over the course of the next few years? 25%, 50% increase in price? You got a shot at tripling your money with gold. Not a guarantee, but a shot. And if you are in difficult circumstances, that's a consideration you want to take. You want to consider when you decide how you're going to try to create that savings, because you can save a little now. And if you save it in the form of gold, it can increase dramatically over the course of the next few years. And next thing you know, instead of having nothing for your retirement, well, maybe you got something. Maybe you have something that's even significant. I don't think you're going to do it with stocks unless you pick a particular stock and you get lucky, you get a particular stock. Yeah, some of them will do great, but most of them, they're not going to do anything astonishing. What were you talking about just earlier on, before the program?
Well, what we're going to be talking about is going to a break.
Is that what we're talking about?
That's what we're going to talk about.
All right, we've got to listen to some more commercials.
Oh, hooey. Well,
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. He will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, Valerie writes us, and she says, what are your thoughts on gold and silver being heavily taxed? I have my thoughts, and I know you have yours.
Yeah. So now we're going to do a penny for your thoughts.
A penny for your
inflation. Who's going to come up with a penny?
It's inflation. 50 cents for your thought.
All right, 50 cents for my thoughts.
Well,
you want to go or you want me to?
Go ahead.
When she says heavily taxed, what she means is gold is going to be gold more heavily taxed than other things. They're going to put a special tax on gold. We're not going to charge at the same rate as we do for selling Cadillacs and for selling new couches for your living room or whatever. Going to be a special heavy tax on gold. Probability strikes me as just about improbable Nothing's impossible in this world, but that strikes me as improbable for a couple of reasons. It's going to antagonize people who've invested in gold, and they're already, you know, if you are a gold investor, you tend to be a little bit anti-government to begin with, right? You're going to just make these people angrier about they didn't trust the government in the first place, and government said, we'll tax you, we'll fix you, we're going to put a big tax on your gold. I don't think they can do that politically very effectively. I don't think it amounts to anything in terms of revenue. How large a tax could they place on gold where the government would make a significant difference in how in the revenue of the government? And then the next reason is they're not going to be able to easily tax gold unless there is a taxable event, which means you got to take the gold out of the box that you got hidden in the attic or buried underground or wherever you got it. You're going to take a couple of coins out of that and you're going to sell it someplace. Now, who's going to report this? And it may be that a dealer will, all right, but not all dealers will. And certainly if you're able to sell it to your brother-in-law or someone else in a private sale, these reports, you know, who's going to make a report that's taxable? I don't think this is easily done. You know, people worry about this and they think they're going to try to put in a high tax on gold. It strikes me as improbable. I'd put nothing past any Obama, Bush, I don't care who's in a, they'll do anything that they think they can get away with. But some things are just, they don't make good sense to me. So I don't think we're going to see any more tax on gold than we do on anything else.
I think it's possible you're going to see, it's possible you could see higher gains on capital gains. You could see higher taxes, whether they create a group. I mean, there's various states in this country that charge tax on purchases of gold and silver. Pennsylvania is a state that is exempt, although 10, 11 years ago, I did have to charge sales tax, but they changed the law. And it was lobbied and passed, and right now we're exempt. Ohio, at one point in time, they were exempt, and they changed the law, so now sales have to be taxed. New York, you have to have sales tax on gold and silver investments on coins. So they can change the tax laws on anything, and they can change the capital gains. My point is, what does that matter? You buy gold and silver to protect your purchasing power through the difficult times that we go through. If gold now is at 1,300, let's say it goes to 10,000, what's it matter if you have to pay a higher tax bracket? Because I guarantee you, you will be far better off having gold at 10,000 paying a higher tax than that person who has no gold whatsoever.
Yeah.
So the position that you're in, all things are relative to one another. You're far better owning gold, no matter what the situation, no matter what the commentary might be when it comes to taxes, than not owning it. Lots of times I hear these tax discussions on physical gold come from stockbrokers who are trying to sell you paper. And they create, oh, the tax that you're going to have to pay on your physical gold is so high that, oh, but here, let's sell you these shares. And this falls under a different tax bracket and so forth and whatnot. So sometimes there's an agenda on those who discuss the capital gains increases on gold and silver or higher taxes. I think they will regulate gold somehow, and it could very well be through tax. But we don't know how they would do it. And, you know, it's an argument. It's a debate. You know, you can talk pro and con and so forth. But the fact of the matter is the reality of you need gold and silver. And you can't let taxes sway you from not purchasing gold and silver.
Well, it's a consideration, but like you're talking about,
no, it isn't a consideration. Whenever you make investment decisions, you shouldn't allow taxes or penalties come into your decision, because they will often keep you from making the correct decision. And that was something Bob taught me a long time ago. And it's true, because I hear it day in and day out with customers who have money in accounts, in their retirement accounts, in their IRAs. It's like, well, gee, I'm going to have to pay a big penalty. I know I'm going to lose a lot of it if I don't take it out, but I have this big penalty. So they're allowing that penalty and the tax keep them from doing something that they should. So when you're making an investment decision, look at the investment. Look at the fundamentals. Is this good for you? Is this what you want to do? If you have to pay tax, pay the tax. If there's a penalty, pay the penalty. I mean, there's ways that you can do it so you don't have the big upfront penalties and taxes. You can stagger your pullouts, and there's things that you can do. It's timing. Everything is timing, but you can do it.
Well, what I was going to say in terms of capital gains, it's unlikely that they are going to have a higher capital gains tax on gold than they do on other investments. And the point being, all things being equal, what are you going to pay the penalty or the tax on? You're going to pay it on your profits. And if there's any concern about this, say, oh, they're going to pay a bunch on, yeah, but you're going to make a bunch of profit in the first place before
exactly.
They actually impose any significant tax. And you can sit back and say, well, I really regret that tax, but on the other hand, I did make a lot of money off the deal. So, in any case, it is, you know, my position is that it's improbable that they're going to impose any taxes that are any higher on gold than any other capital gains investment.
And there are
possible, but I don't think so.
And there are different taxes for different gold. I mean, the pre-33 gold pieces, they are exempt. It's the honor system. It's still the responsibility of the person to report the gains, but as a business owner, and for purchasing back $20 gold pieces, I do not have to create a 1099. For bullion, it is different. So there are different.
What qualifies as bullion? And what I'm particularly interested in, I understand that bars, for example, are bullion, but are they talking about gold eagles?
You can debate that.
Yeah, I know. That's
you
part
can,
of the thing
you can,
because
you
it's
can
a
debate
United
that?
States coin.
Because what happened is the Gold Industry Association talked to the IRS many years ago, and they came out with a list of items that would be, you know, that would be reportable. 1099s would have to be generated. Well, this report was actually done prior to 1986, I believe, if I'm correct, and gold eagles weren't even minted then at that point mm-hmm. in time. You have Krugerrands on there. That was one of the coins that were listed. I consider gold eagles bullion coins. As being taxable.
Okay, Krugerrands are deemed bullion, and they are taxable then.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So there's a lot of changes, and there's even open to interpretation for many businesses. I know various people in the industry, if you have someone selling back 100 gold eagles, yeah, they will do a 1099 on them. And then there's other dealers who won't. So I don't mess with the IRS, and I don't think people should either. And I never give tax advice. That's up for the clients to go to their own accountants to ask those questions because everything is open to interpretation, and that's how the IRS likes it. That way they can come back and change the laws and change.
They can also intimidate people just
exactly.
out of the ambiguity and the confusion. If you don't know for sure what's going on and you're scared of the IRS, you're going to be scared to do anything that the IRS might take offense, and therefore you'll pay a tax even if you don't really have to.
So if
they
folks
like the ambiguity and the confusion, and it's
so if folks don't want to, you know, if they want to be 100% secure and not having to be, it's still the honor system. They're still required to say, hey, I made this gain on these coins, even though I don't have to generate a 1099. It's up to you. I can't structure purchases based on, oh, you don't have to pay taxes. I'll get in trouble for that. But I do have to say, it is the honor system. It is your responsibility, not mine. But I don't generate 1099s. If people want to have that additional security, buy some Mint State 63 $20 St. Gaudens today, and hey, you don't have to worry about a thing.
Yeah, it's just going to sit there until it sits there. And even, you know, again, the idea behind gold is there's a strong element of privacy. You can actually engage in two-party transactions that do not include a third party. Big government is not necessarily watching every coin you sell, because you can sell it to somebody out on the street, mm-hmm. sell it to your brother-in-law, and sell it to a certain number of dealers, and they're not transacting in a way that government is aware of. Well, that opens the door. And if you're going to move $500,000 worth of gold, you're going to have a taxable event. If you're going to sell a gold coin once in a while, who's going to know?
Yeah.
You know, there's one other thing that protects gold, in my opinion. And who owns gold typically? Rich people. What are the probabilities that they're going to get a tax in on something that rich people, you know, are they likely to really impose something like a luxury tax on gold? Nothing's impossible, but generally speaking, the rich have sufficient lobbyists in Congress, in or near Congress, to prevent them from doing real damage to the wealthy. And insofar as an increased tax on gold would do damage to the wealthy, we can expect their lobbyists to be bribing congressmen to say, let's not do that. Let's find a way to tax some of the great unwashed rather than the wealthy people.
Agreed.
What's next, Melody? What we got, about 3 minutes?
Yeah, we don't have
2 minutes.
Yeah, we don't have. There's a lot of folks in Atlantic City, casino workers. About 5,000 newly laid off workers over the next 3 days will be signing up for unemployment. Gee, New Jersey is doing so well. You know, it just amazes me how even Christie could even consider running for president, but based on the conditions of New Jersey. But certainly Atlantic City has been hit. They've been hit hard. They started the year with about 12 casinos, and they're down to about 8. Now, about 8,000 people will be out of work, and you even have the Trump Plaza that is closing September 16th, and the Atlantic Club had actually shut down in January, so tough times coming to Atlantic City. And there's even Delaware has casinos that are getting funds from the state to keep their casinos going. So casinos are certainly having a difficult time because there's no disposable income in this country anymore. And that's what it points to. People aren't gambling. And prices are getting higher. Health care is getting higher. You know, people are having to pay for health care that they didn't have to pay before. People are getting part-time jobs that they had full-time jobs before. So, and older folks are getting less. They can't put their money in the bank and get any type of return. So they're scared to death. As we talked about, over 55, they're going to run out of money before they die. So.
Yep. And that's a scary thing. It really is a scary situation as you get, you know, as you get older. It doesn't bother you when you're younger. You get older and you begin to realize, uh-oh, I better have some money stacked up. I may live longer than I'd expected. All right, folks, we have to drop all of this because we are on our way to commercials and station breaks and another program starting up in a couple of minutes. I'm Alfred Adusk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.